Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome to the show. This is the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm Nikki Seberini, delighted to be with you. This, of course, the show where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. Of course, Shana Tova. I hope that you had a meaningful, wonderful, illuminating, light-filled, delicious time with family and friends. And as we look towards the year ahead, may it be one that is filled with peace and understanding and togetherness and freedom and upliftment and good health and love and joy. And we can go on and on and on and just please God. And as I always say, may we be the light in the world, each and every one of us, with each thing that we do, may we be the light in the world. And I'm having a bit of a laugh because I think George, the AI news reader, has developed a bit of a sense of humor. I don't know if you've noticed, but he certainly has a bit of a personality. He spoke about the lion paparazzi, and I loved his comment about Charles de Gaulle, who was a doppelganger when it came to Inspector Clouseau. So yeah, George, the AI news reader, is certainly getting a personality here on Chai FM. We're going to be talking, really having an interesting discussion about medication, about how to store it, how to use it, really how to use your medication safely. You know, a lot of you who listen to the show on all sorts of medication, and it's really important to be reminded of the do's and the don'ts. So we're going to be starting off talking about that. But before we get there, I just want to remind you that, of course, this is the time of the year when there are incredible running races and cycling races, and something really, really big is coming, because for the first time we are heading to the Cape Town Marathon, and really it's on its journey to becoming one of the majors. So it's a new city and it's a new race, but it's always the same powerful purpose. So whether you've pounded the pavement with us before or you're ready for your first big challenge, this is your moment. So join Team DL Link, help us make it huge, loud, and proud. And of course, extremely meaningful. And we know that Rye Joburg is coming up on October the 26th. So remember to save the date. It's not far to go. So that's one mission, two cities, both on Sundays. So let's run, ride, and let's make it count. So if you're interested, please email the DL Link. That's events at dllink.co.za. events@dllink.co.za. I have Kenala Meng Selo, a pharmacist and clinical analyst at MediPost Pharmacy, to talk about the fact that it is Pharmacy Month and we're talking about medication safety. Kenala Meng, welcome and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to this conversation.
Oh, well, so have we. You know, I think it really is a very important conversation. There are a lot of people who are listening who are on all types of medication. And I think it's always important to be reminded of the do's and the don'ts, right, when it comes to medication. So we're going to start off very, very simply. And we're going to look at when you walk into a pharmacy, of course, you've got the off-the-shelf medication, and then you've got medication that is prescribed. And perhaps you can just outline for us, Kenala Meng, what is it? Like, what is the difference between medication that you can buy off the shelf as opposed to medication that you can only get from a prescription from a doctor?
Once again, thank you so much for having me, and hello to your listeners. Just a simple difference that I can explain between over-the-counter and prescription medication. Over-the-counter is medication that anyone, of course, an adult, we can't send children to go buy medication. You just go there and say, hi, maybe I have a headache, I've got flu symptoms, I have this and that, and then they can give it to you without a prescription. But prescription medications are usually chronic medications, but they can also be antibiotics. These are the ones that you have to go to the doctor and consult for, and then the doctor will then write a prescription for you, and then you go to the pharmacy. In most pharmacies, you'll see there's a side for self-medication and another side for prescription where if you have a prescription, you have to go to that line. So that's basically it. The other one is the script from the doctor that you take to the pharmacy, and then the other you can just walk in and tell the pharmacist what you need.
Yeah, thanks for that. And of course, we know, and I'm sure you as a pharmacist experience it, that very often when someone's not feeling well, first of all, getting an appointment can be difficult, it can be costly. And so a lot of people walk into a pharmacy and think, well, you know, maybe I can speak to the pharmacist and they can give me something and I can feel better. So as a pharmacist, how do you know when you can say, oh, well, let me just give someone just to help alleviate the symptoms, or maybe this could be something more, and they need to see a doctor?
Okay, that is very good, because sometimes most of our patients don't really like going to the doctor. We do know that there are people that don't really like going to the doctor, so they will always come to the pharmacy. But in most cases, if you've been coming to the pharmacy for the same thing, we always advise patients, because remember, with self-medication, they are actually intended for short treatment. Like they would say, do not use for more than 10 days without consulting a doctor, or yes, it's not for long period. So if maybe a patient will come and say, okay, I've been having a headache for over 10 days now, and then obviously we'll find the medical history to say, what have you been drinking? And then they'll say a specific brand of a headache pain medication, and we just want to ask, how long have they been taking it? If it's been over a month or so, then we would rather advise the patient to say, you know what, rather go to the doctor and find out what is wrong, because sometimes it's just not a simple headache. It could be something underlying, like certain conditions. You might, if you don't do yearly checkups, or you don't go to the doctor often, you might not know that you have a condition until the doctor does tests and checks you thoroughly. So if it's something that we see, okay, or maybe you come with a blister or a wound that we can literally see that this one looks infected, unfortunately, there's nothing we can do. We have to send them to the doctor or the hospital to say, go get this one checked, and let's make sure we give you the right treatment for whatever you are going through. So yeah, sometimes there are things that we can't really say, oh, just take this, you'll be fine. We really need to thoroughly check and send them to the doctor.
Thank you for that. So I think it's really important. So, you know, if you go in and it's a symptom, and taking the medication, as you said, the self-medication is usually for a short period of time. But if the symptoms persist, then you would say, you have to go to the doctor. So I think it's a perfect time of the year. We know, and certainly in Joburg, wow, do we suffer from all sorts of allergies with the pollen in the air, and people are spluttering and sniffing and coughing. And then there's always that question, you know, what antihistamine and what cough mixture. And then, of course, and in South Africa, getting over-the-counter cough mixtures, it's quite readily available, and you can have ingredients like codeine in these over-the-counter cough mixtures. And yet codeine can be quite addictive, and over an extended period of time can be quite dangerous. So maybe we can just speak to that, Kinaliming, because I'm sure a lot of people are coming into pharmacies at the moment for cough mixtures to clear their noses. What are the dangers, and what would you have to say to those people who are doing that?
One thing about codeine in cough mixtures and some pain medications that are over the counter is we can't really control, because some patients who are addicted can go from one pharmacy to another to go get it.
Yeah.
But if you are a pharmacist working in a pharmacy, you can literally see, okay, this person was here last week, and that person was here again the other week. But the nicest thing about over-the-counter medicine is they are designed to like limit use, because they'll be like for 10 days supply or for not more than a month. So at least that one gets to somehow limit the patients from overuse. But all I can say is, you know, one thing about overuse is you can't control. You can't control. Sometimes it can be accidental. Sometimes it can be intentional. But either way, it's very dangerous. So if you take the wrong dosage, for example, if maybe they say take 3 times a day, and then you decide, no, I'm gonna take more because I'm in pain, and so on. This can literally lead to serious side effects. And, you know, when you, for kids who are sick, we get frustrated as parents and say, no, just give him the cough syrup or just give her this cough syrup, this and that. But this can be life-threatening because, you know, for kids, even a small accidental ingestion can cause, like, serious side effects, which can eventually be life-threatening. So I would advise your listeners to try and avoid overusing medication. And also, I know most people like sharing medication. It is advisable not to share medication because remember, each medicine is tailored according to a person's specific health needs. So yeah, that would be my advice.
Yeah, I think that's an important one as well, the sharing. And I'd like to go back to that because especially, I mean, when you're talking about sharing, I'm presuming you're talking about, you know, medication that maybe you can't just buy over the counter. As you said, maybe it's specifically prescribed for you. But just to go back to, you know, those products that are readily available because they are over the counter, the prescription medications are not. When it comes to reading instructions and warnings, you know, when one is getting prescribed medication, one would think that it's not going to be dangerous because that is what the doctor has prescribed. Maybe you can speak to that, the importance of reading the contraindications, reading warnings, whether it's prescribed medication or over the counter.
Okay, thank you so much for that question. Firstly, I would just like to advise everyone, it is always important to read your patient information leaflet, especially for medication that you've never used before. If it's the first time you use that medication, at least take time to look. There's a site for patient information leaflet. They use simple English that people can understand. So I would really advise people to always try to read the warning labels because this is where you're able to check if there's any interactions and probably you're taking other chronic medications. And then this will show you, if I take this medication, and I'm currently on this chronic medication, they might interact and might lead to certain side effects. And this is where you also will be able to see, okay, if I take this medication, I might, not all people experience those side effects. So it's important to understand it might and might not happen to you, but these are the kind of side effects that you should look out for. And if they happen and they are severe, rather consult the doctor, but some of them might just go away on their own. And also on the patient information leaflet, they try to tell the warnings, like, for example, you spoke about your codeine and so on. Some people get sleepy and drowsy from your codeines. So these side effects does not only mean you won't be able to drive or carry heavy machinery, but even if you're sitting in your office typing, you might get sleepy and tend to type wrong things, or, you know, you are in a meeting and then you're busy sleeping. That is not nice. Yeah. So it is very important to look out for these warnings, especially where they say, do not operate heavy machinery or may cause drowsiness. Don't say, I don't work with heavy machinery. Just remember, the main thing is to just say, do not drink this medication if you're going to work or do an intense work or drive as well. So I would advise everyone in general, please read the patient information leaflet. It is there for a reason. It is there to make sure that you take your medication safely. And should anything happen, you are aware of possible things that might happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And so important, because I'm just thinking, and I think I've mentioned this before in past interviews with pharmacists, is, you know, you have some pharmacists who, and doctors who will warn you, and then some who don't. Perhaps they're very busy and they don't. And The thing is, when you are putting a substance into your body, you should do the research. You should know, I mean, I know that people say don't Google everything, but you're talking about reading the instructions, know what the side effects can be, know what the dangers can be, and make these choices and make sure that you're taking them properly, correctly. This is your body, this is your health. You have to look
Correct.
at when you put something into your system, what you're putting. So then, you sort of alluded to different medications which can have, different impacts on you. Maybe we can just look at some of the factors that can cause medications to lose their effectiveness or to become unstable. And how would one know this or evaluate it?
A lot of people don't realize that everyday things can actually make medications less effective. I mean, the way we store and handle medication really matters. For example, things like heat, moisture, light, can be normal light or artificial light. Even exposure to air can affect how well the medication works. So, for example, if you keep your medicine in the bathroom where there's a lot of steam, it can break down faster, and that affects the stability of the medication. Another typical example I can make is we leave medication in the car, we park in the sun. I mean, the car will get hot, and this will expose your medicine to both heat and sunlight. And over time, they won't be stable anymore, and then they won't even be effective if you try to take it. Another important thing is, I know as people, if you have a container of medication at home that has like 100 tablets in it, but you want to take five to take to work, you tend to put them in storage containers that are not suitable for that medication. If that medication is susceptible to light and heat and whatever, it might not be able to work in future. So the best advice I can give is to always keep medication in their original containers, somewhere cool and dry.
Wow, that's so interesting because I'm just thinking about, you buy those little Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday boxes. So if you're going on holiday or if you tend to forget, and then you can go and get your medication and then you put the medication on the different days. And you're saying be careful because maybe the pills, first of all, maybe they shouldn't even be mixed together, but some of them shouldn't be exposed to light. And if they are, it could alter their efficacy. And then what's the point? So I think that's really an important point, Kinalamang.
Yes.
Do you know if with those medications, it's stipulated in the warnings that they shouldn't be exposed to sunlight? Would something like that be written just to warn people?
Definitely, definitely. I'm not discouraging people not to use that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday containers. It's very good because at least it reminds you when to take your medication and whatnot. But remember, those containers, it means you're going to put your medication for diabetes, another one for hypertension, and. Yes, it's good, but also there's a risk of cross-contamination. And another thing is, those containers, if you don't close it properly, I mean, we have adults, our grannies and grandpas, who sometimes, I wouldn't say they are ignorant, but they won't see if it's closed properly or not. But if you do not close it properly, air might seep in into the tablets and make it unstable. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, but to answer your question, yes, every patient information leaflet, as you read down there, they will try and where they do the description of the medication and the storage condition. And some of them, for example, there's this medication used for angina, they will highlight that it should be kept in a container that is dark because if affected by heat, sorry, light, it will cause the medication to degrade and so and so. I'm not saying everything is written there, but they will have like a special warning there to say this. So do not take it out from their original packaging because they use that specific container to protect it from sunlight. So yeah, basically that's
No,
it.
I hear that. Thank you. I think that's such an important point. Also, I'm just thinking about when using certain medications, and some of them can be less effective. So you're talking about in terms of storage and perhaps also in the mixing of them or the taking of them. And I know as a pharmacist, it's very difficult to think of all these medications. I mean, we know with antibiotics, sometimes they say take it on an empty stomach. Sometimes it's taken after a meal.
After meal,
If you're taking a probiotic, take it on an empty stomach. I know that someone once said, if you're taking a probiotic, your stomach should be empty and you shouldn't be drinking anything hot. So there's certain things that the way you actually taking your medication is really, really important. So once again, it's asking the pharmacist, reading the instructions, and make sure you're very, very clear that you're taking it correctly.
Correct, correct.
And what about a medication expiring? What do you have to say about that? What are the risks?
That's a very good question. You know, we have a lot of people that say, oh, I still have that medication, and they check the expiry date, it's maybe 3 months later, and they're like, ah, let me just take it. What harm will it do? But remember, expiry dates on medications are there for a reason. I mean, they tell you when a medicine may no longer be safe or effective to use. Remember, these dates are based on things like how stable the drug is, the packaging that was used, and the recommended storage condition. So if you take expired medication, it can be really risky. Sometimes it's not always risky. Other people will say, nothing ever happened to me after taking expired medication. But others have resulted to adverse reactions that even led to them going to hospital. So, for example, if you take expired medication, sometimes the medicine might not work as intended, which can delay your treatment or even make your condition worse. And some of them, they can break down and produce unwanted substances that could literally be harmful to the human body. This is where I mean you will experience side effects or even possible toxicity. So the safest approach is to always check those dates regularly when you have your medication, and some of them you don't use every day. Just check the expiry date before you drink any medication. And if you have anything that is expired, it is best to replace it with something else.
I'm just thinking about, the dreaded cleaning out of cupboards. But actually, people should be going possibly every 6 months or so and looking at their medicine cupboards and throwing away. I must say, I'm very bad at that, throwing away those that have expired. And we're going to take a break, Kenalamang. But perhaps after the break, you can tell us what the safest way is of disposing of medication that has expired. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Well, welcome back to the DLing show on 101.9 Hi FM. We're having such an interesting conversation with Kenalamang Selo, who's a pharmacist and clinical analyst at MediPost Pharmacy. You see, September is Pharmacy Month. And we're talking about medication safety. And I think such important points have been made. You know, we walk into a pharmacy, there's over the counter and there's prescription medication. And so often, and especially as I was saying, this time of the year, if you're struggling with a stuffy nose and coughing and allergies, you know, you can get on a cough mixture and you could be on a cough mixture for a month. And, there are restrictions. You should be taking it over a shorter period of time. And as Kenalamang said, that if symptoms persist over a period of time, you should be going to see your doctor. You should be very careful with how you take your medication, that you're storing your medication correctly. Otherwise, it could lose its effectiveness, that you shouldn't be sharing medication. And something that I also found very valuable is that medication that is expired is not safe, that the expiration date is there for a reason, and that it can be dangerous to take medication that is expired. So perhaps you want to go and open your medicine cupboard and have a look and throw away the medicine that is out of date. So before the break in Alamanga, I asked, you know, what would be the safest way of disposing of medications? And is there something like you could return it? You know, you have these recycle bins at certain shops. Would you return it? Is it return it back to a pharmacy? Is that the safest way?
Yes, definitely, definitely. That's a very important question. So, you know, some communities have these medication disposal programs, like at your pharmacies or your clinics, your hospitals, whereby if you have any, it doesn't matter how many expired medication you have at home, you can bring it back to that facility, and they know how to dispose it properly. So honestly speaking, if that one is not an option for you, it's okay. You can try. This is not advisable, but if you don't have, I mean, those programs around your community, at least try to cover it with something where it won't, people won't be able to see it, because we're trying, or it won't be able to spill in somewhere there at the dumping site. We're trying to prevent accidental ingestion and environmental contamination. The other thing to always remember, please never ever flush medication down the toilet or drain. This can harm the environment and potentially contaminate the water supply. We all drink water. We don't want to end up drinking water that is contaminated by medication. So please, community, let us try to avoid flushing medication down the toilet. Like I say, rather go to the pharmacy near you and ask them, do you guys do medication disposal programs? If not, try and cover it as much as you can so that no one will be able to access it before you put it in the trash.
Such an important point, and I am going to emphasize what you said there about not flushing medication down the toilet or down the drain. As you said, this is the water system, and if everyone had to do it, can you imagine what the water would be like? So I think that is such an important point. We've covered quite a lot, Ken Alemang, and I'm wondering if there's something that perhaps we haven't covered that you would like to share with our audience before we say goodbye?
The other thing that I would like to share with your audience is the storage of medication. I know I already mentioned never to store medication in the bathrooms or kitchen. Also, please always make sure that you keep the medication out of reach of our little ones. We know these people are really curious and they like putting everything in their mouths. So please try and put the medication rather locked in a cabinet or stored on a high shelf where they won't be able to reach these medications. And one other thing is, we like calling these medicines sweeties or candy just to encourage our kids to take it. Please let us avoid doing that. And we need to teach our kids about medicine safety while they're still young. Another important thing is, I know as parents, when we get the medication, especially the liquid medication, we would take a spoon that we eat with to give our kids medication. Can we kindly avoid doing that? Let's rather use the measuring spoon or the syringe that came with the medication to ensure that we give the right dose. And I've already mentioned this, but I need to emphasize it. Always check the warning labels. You need to know if this medication needs to be taken with food, if it interacts with something, what side effects to watch for, and so on. And then the other things that I would really like to emphasize, please safely throw away expired or unused medication. And try and, if you throw it away in the house, make sure the kids can't get to them. I mean, a little extra care can go a long way in keeping our kids safe and healthy. I think that's it. Thank you so much.
I think it's been so valuable because, you know, we've just been talking about common sense, haven't we? But as you've said, we could make one little mistake because we've forgotten or because we're rushing. And so we don't put something away. And then, God forbid, a little child gets hold of it, or anything else that we spoke about, the dangers, and that we really need to realize that medicine is powerful and it can be used wonderfully to heal us, but it can be very damaging if it's not taken correctly and if it's not taken by the right person. And so we have to treat it with a certain amount of respect and consciousness when handling it. And so I think it's very important that we had this conversation. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, lovely. And take care. Thank you very much, Kenalemang.
Thank you so much. But can I please say one last thing?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Sorry, I hope I'm not going to be in trouble for this, but I just wanted to let your audience know that MediPost Pharmacy, we have a walk-in pharmacy at Gesina in Pretoria, and you can also access our online shop at shop.medipost.co.za. We also have a website, medipost.co.za, or they can also follow us at Facebook or Instagram at MediPost Pharmacy. And if we have anyone who really wants to get their medication delivered anywhere in South Africa, they can WhatsApp us on 012-426-4655. And if they really want it, just WhatsApp it and we will MediPost it for you. Thank you so much for having me. This has been a pleasure to have this conversation with you. And I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed sharing this information with your listeners.
Oh,
and I really hope they will practice it at home.
I'm sure they will, Kenalemang. Thank you so much. Been wonderful having you on the show. Kenalemang Selo, pharmacist and clinical analyst at MediPost Pharmacy, here for you on 101.9 High FM. And just a reminder that, you know, if there's information that you've missed and that you would like to return to, the show is podcast. So from tomorrow, you'll be able to catch the show and other shows that we've had in the past. If you've missed any, just go to the High FM website, look under the podcasts, look for the day, which is Thursday, Life Links, and you will find the podcast there. Unfortunately, our next guest was not able to join us today as she had a personal emergency. So I thought I would take a little bit of time talking about something that I'm really, really passionate about, and that is breath work. You know, I've spoken a little bit about it. And I wanted to share that just a few days ago, I went into a high school and I sat with a group of young teenage boys, young men, and they were in their drama class, and their drama teacher had booked me to do some breath work with them. And it kind of made sense because breath and correct way of breathing is really, really important in order to produce the correct sound, the correct voice. And, you know, if you're a performer, you've got to be producing very good vocal sounds in order to say your monologue or your speech or act or whatever it is. And so I walked in and I asked these guys, the first thing I asked them was like, what are your thoughts on spending some time doing some breath work? And they all burst out laughing and they said, what a load of nonsense. What do you mean we're breathing? It's silly and it's woo woo and it's whatever. And you know, spending 2 hours with them and getting them as young teenage boys, these young men who are under a tremendous amount of pressure. They were in grade 10, grade 11. There's a lot of pressure at school. There's a lot of peer pressure. There's a lot of pressure from their parents, a lot of peer pressure within society. We know just to get into university and make something of your life, you know, the pressure starts at a young age. And I'm sure for those of you who have got children, you know, and you personally experience it, we know what the pressure is like. And to be able to spend time with them and for them to be able to see that breath work is not just some funny thing, but that breath work is when you just consciously use your breath to make yourself feel better, that they got to see that when they are feeling incredibly overwhelmed and stressed, that if they just extend their exhale and breathe a little bit slower, then their parasympathetic response or their relaxation response is switched on. So they don't have to sit and think about, oh, I don't want to be stressed, or I'm feeling overwhelmed, or I'm feeling panicked and trying to think their way out of it. They got to see that if in that moment they just extended their exhale, just like that, on a physiological level, they started to calm down. They got to see that if just before going into an exam, if they would do a square breath, which is a slow breathing with a pause and then a slow breath, you're drawing a square with your breath. They got to see, wow, I can feel focused and relaxed at the same time. And this is really, really valuable for when I go onto the sports field, when I am about to write an exam, or if I'm going to stand up and give a performance. And then sometimes, you know, feeling the slump, you're exhausted, you've got no energy. We know how easy it is to go and have the cup of coffee, or how easy it is to pop a pill. And once again, the breath work, when you change, you know, if you emphasize your inhale and you inhaling through the mouth in a particular way, then you are activating your sympathetic response. And that means you get a whole lot of energy and you can breathe that way. And now you're focused and you're energized and you're far more creative. So it was really interesting that within that short period of time, they got to experience the breath. And that when they walked away, you know, I asked the question, so does it still feel like something that's useless and woo-woo and out there and ridiculous? And they all laughed and they said, wow, you know, we've learned something so valuable. We got to see that we have so much power. We've got to see that we have so much control in how we feel, and that when we want to change how we feel, we just need to change the way we breathe. So I wanted to bring that up because, you know, this is a show where we talk about health and wellness and dealing with all sorts of challenges. And so often we feel like control has been taken away from us. And very often it has, if we have a particular diagnosis and then we have to go to a doctor or an oncologist. And we're put on treatment that can have all sorts of adverse effects. And there's the fear of not making it through the treatment. And, you know, there's the sense of not being in control. And so often I have people on the show who talk about the importance of taking control over one's own mind, one's own healing, the way you sleep, the way you eat, the way you show up, the way you relate to your diagnosis and your treatment. And using your breath is a really, really powerful way of doing it. So I often say that breath is potent medicine. It's almost the missing pillar in our health. And there, you know, people have been talking about this for thousands of years, but unfortunately in the West, we kind of lost our way because we just thought it was about allopathic medication. And I'm all for allopathic medication. You know, when you're sick, you need to take something, but there's a lot more you can be doing. You can be breathing in a particular way to improve your cardiovascular health, to improve and boost your immune system, to regulate your nervous system, to do all sorts of things that keep you healthy physically, emotionally, mentally. So I really, really wanted to just put that out there. We're going to take a break and we're going to play a song. And if you do have any questions for me with regards to breath work or the different kinds of exercises, please feel free to call through. I don't know what the WhatsApp line is, but I know the studio line is 0610823459. That's 0610823459. I think that still is. And maybe, Craig, you can tell me what the WhatsApp line number is. Is that the WhatsApp line? You can let me know. If any of you want to, as I said, interact, and if you have any questions you'd like to ask me, about breath work and particular exercises you can do to change the way you feel, to literally shift the way you show up. So Craig is just busy messaging me the WhatsApp number. And as I said, we're going to take a break and we're going to listen to a song. Yeah, the WhatsApp number is 061-895-1019. 061-895-1019. We're going to take a break and we'll be back.